In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I have Eleanor McCullen with me today. I want to talk about the farmer. The old farmer will tell you, what you sow is what you reap. If you sow cucumbers, you're going to reap cucumbers. If you sow tomatoes, you're going to reap tomatoes. If you plant onions, you're going to reap onions. This is also true in the spiritual life. If you sow violence, you're going to reap violence. Who has really put together, connected the dots with abortion, the most violent thing that happens every single day? We have planted violence, and we are receiving violence. We see this young man, demonic man, killed 9 people. But we plant violence every day. We call it choice, but it's violence. And what you plant is what you reap. We need to do away with the killing of children. We need to do away with it for our own name's sake, because what you plant is what you reap. I don't hear very many people talking about these dots that are connected. You keep on killing children, and you will find violence in the streets. You'll find violence in homes. You'll find violence where you never found violence. Tell us about it, Eleanor.
Well, it's so true. Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here with you and to be with Father. And it is a sobering subject that Father brought up this morning. And I don't understand why it doesn't strike everyone that it's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that we have all the violence going on in the country. And no one can seem to see that it correlates with the legal violence that we're doing in the womb, with taking the unborn child out of the womb, killing the unborn child. That's legal violence. I remember years ago when there was a major problem in Boston with killing, and Father said, we have legal violence right up the street at Commonwealth Avenue where we're taking our little unborn children out of the womb. And so why shouldn't we have some violence in downtown Boston where people are killing themselves, killing each other? And if you remember, Father, Mother Teresa, she won the Nobel Peace Prize, and she stood up in front of thousands of people as she accepted the prize, and they clapped and they clapped, and she said, abortion is our worst evil. And she said, if a woman can kill the child in her womb, what keeps us from killing one another? And she had a standing ovation, like, right, that's right. But what happened? They go home, people go home, and they say, well, she was good, she deserved the prize, but they don't listen to the message. And that was many years ago. And that's exactly true now. And when you hear of the horrible tragedy in Charleston last week, the ministers were saying, how can people be in church? Church is a place of refuge. Church is a place where God is. Church is a place for comfort. How can someone come in and kill in a church, a place of refuge? But then, Father, when you think about it, the question is, a safe place for an unborn child, a place of refuge, a place of comfort, a place of solace, is in the mother's womb. It used to be that a child's safest place he could possibly be would be in the womb of his mother. But Father, it is not a safe place anymore. That the safe place is not in the womb for the unborn. And we're all saying that every life matters. Every life matters. And we have to say every life matters, including the life of the unborn child. We have to finish the sentence. The unborn child is still the most fragile, the most vulnerable, the poorest of the poor. No one is speaking for the unborn child. The unborn child has no voice. So you're right, Father. And this will continue. And our God is not happy. In fact, he is very unhappy. We have a heartbroken God. He puts beautiful miracles. The body is a beautiful thing. When you think about how the body operates, how all the parts of the body go together and produce a healthy person. And here in the womb, he puts a little miracle, healthy body that will grow after the baby is born into a beautiful human being. And generations and generations and generations will go on from this miracle. But we are playing God. We are saying, I don't think I want this baby now. Maybe next year. But now I want my job. Now I want the two TVs. Now I want to go to school. Now I want. It's everything we want. We're playing God. And he has chosen mothers and fathers to carry the beautiful miracle of life, but we say no. And the Lord doesn't like when we say no. He's the best God, and he's the most powerful and generous. And he has said all the time, what have I done to you people? I've given you everything. I've given you life and sight and hearing and sun and moon and nature and oceans. I've given you everything. I've given you blessings. What have I done to you? Because you're taking my children out of the womb. And he is a heartbroken God, Father, and justice will be served. I know that justice will be served. He is a just God. He is a most merciful God. And again, I'll say he is a just God. So I don't know. You speak up about it. I frankly don't hear anybody else seeing the correlation between legal violence and unlegal violence. And unless we stop killing our children in the womb, and come to our senses and realize adoption instead of abortion, and helping our mothers that decide to keep their babies, helping them get settled and get them on their feet. Unless we stop the killing of the children in the womb, we will continue to have violence across the country. It's not going to stop. It just won't stop. So somehow, I don't know how it's going to be, Father, but We must pray, but also besides praying, we have to speak out. Sometimes, Father, we're so afraid to speak out. I don't know why, but I'm the people I'm talking to right now, I'm going to say that you have been born for a time like this. We have been born for a time like this. The people that know that abortion is absolutely wrong, evil personified, we have to speak out. The people in Washington, the people in every state, you've been born for a time like this now to stand up and say, I'm outraged. And you're born for a time like this to shine. You are the light of Christ. You have to shine your light now. You can't be quiet anymore. We've been too quiet. A few of us have spoken up, but we need thousands and millions to step out and be in outrage and say, no more. We're not taking the life of the unborn out of that womb. We're not doing it. We can't do it. It's wrong. It's evil. People, wake up. We have been born for a time like this to have courage, to shine our light, to speak the truth, and to speak the truth and not worry if people roll their eyes and talk about us. We can't worry about that. We're past that. We have to go forward. We know the truth. The world is waiting. The world is hungry and thirsty to hear the truth. And we are called to do it. And everybody that's listening, they know who we are that have to go forward now. Not yelling and ranting and raving, but go forward firmly with truth and gently with love. But speak out, be outraged. Somewhere along the line, somebody that's in power over Father and I have to hear this message. Because unless the stopping of the killing, if it doesn't stop, then we're going to continue going down and down and down. The country is going down, and our unborn children are being killed. So everyone, this is your time. You've been born for a time like this. So have courage and proceed and speak out.
Yesterday was the feast of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was not well received because of what he said. One after me is greater than I. I am not worthy to untie his sandals. And John the Baptist spoke out. We need people like John the Baptist that will speak out. Yes, when Eleanor says that you must care for the mother, they do that. They're not only outside the abortion mills. They are there to help the mothers. They are there to buy groceries. They are there to give money. This is God's work. And the evil of abortion has been completely, completely put under cover. No one talks about it anymore. We just don't want to talk about it. But you see, if you don't talk about it, then it gets worse. At least maybe there's someone listening to me today that has a problem pregnancy. We can help you. We can help you. We can help you. You might say, but I have to go to school in September. Listen, we can help you. Things aren't as bad as you think. Things aren't as bad as you think. Eleanor, tell us some stories.
Well, I surely will, Father. And just to finish that up, I'm speaking to all rabbis, all ministers, all priests, all bishops, all cardinals, and lay people. Lay people can do a lot of what I just said. But unless we have the leaders, unless we have the cardinals, the bishops, the ministers, the rabbis, to back us all up so we walk shoulder to shoulder and get this, stamp out this evil. So I'm speaking to everybody, Father, today. Now, I know I'm emotional, but I will tell you some happy things that happened. And let me ask you this, Father. Did you ever hear that song, Little Things Mean a Lot?
Yes.
Aha, I knew you did. And you'll probably start singing it for me in a minute. But this, a couple little things that I'll tell you about. Little things mean a lot. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, Father, well, we do something small and we think, oh, that's not much, you know. But guess what? St. Therese said, or was it, who was it that said, maybe it was Mother Teresa again, do small things with love.
Therese.
Was it Therese? Okay, good. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's see. Well, one day, I don't believe I had told you this before, but I'll just tell you again. One day, I was outside of Planned Parenthood, and it was the end of the morning, and I was exhausted. And I was getting in my car. I was trying to get in my car. I had my last rose that Frank Porter gave me. And it was, I just wanted to get in the car because we had a long morning. But I saw this woman standing a little bit away from the, she wasn't going into Planned Parenthood, actually. She was looking for a ride. So I really didn't feel like saying hello, but guess what? This is a little thing means a lot. I just said, hi, hello, I have my last rose. Can I give it to you this morning? And well, as soon as I handed out the yellow rose, it was beautiful, she started to cry. So I said, oh, my gosh, you know, what's happening? So she said that she is pregnant and she's alone and she doesn't know what to do. And for me to stop and say hello and give her a rose. Now, you don't always have to have a rose, but you can just say hello to somebody. What's happening? And the Lord will give you people. It's a little thing. Hello, a smile. How are you? And the Lord will give you the people that need to hear that. As a result of that giving of the rose, we became friends. She was not going to have an abortion. I want to point that out. However, you never know because she was alone and she was down, and I came by at the perfect time. So I'm helping her with all kinds of things. Her husband just came over and picked up a bassinet and a lot of baby things because the baby's coming in August. Now, the interesting part of that is she has a 5-year-old, so she's giving me clothes from the 5-year-old, and I have those in my house that I'm giving out to people that come that have 5-year-olds. So it kind of is a circle of love. But it was started out with a simple hello. Another story, Father, is interesting. A woman was in the abortion facility It wasn't over here on Commonwealth. It was another place. And she was sitting there, and everybody was sitting around. A couple people were crying. Nobody was happy, nervous talking. And she was sitting there, and she was saying, oh, I don't want to be here, but I have to be here. I don't have anybody. I'm all alone. And then she said, yes, I have to go through with this abortion. And then she waited a few more minutes, and then she said, oh, I'm conflicted. I don't know what to do. Oh, I have to go through with this abortion. I just have to. So just then, the person at the receptionist desk called her up. And, you know, I told you before, they call you by number, your birthday, 9-4. And they don't give your name. I mean, they're so proud of what they do. But they just called 9-4, come up to the desk now. So the woman that was conflicted, she said, all right, I'm just going to go ahead with it. I have to. I have nobody to take care of me, etc. So she walked up to the desk, and the woman said, can I see your ID? So she opened her wallet, and she got the ID out. As she was getting the ID out, a card dropped to the floor, another card. So she picked up the card. Now, this was a holy card, and she read it, and it said, I am your Lord and your God. I am with you. I love you. I will help you. Take courage. Do not be afraid. So she took that for herself, and she left the abortion facility, and she went on to have a beautiful baby girl that she named Grace. Now you say, what's the little thing? Somebody gave her that card. Maybe they were out for lunch. It was sitting on her desk. She just picked it up. She stuck it in her wallet. It was a little thing, but guess what? It was big. So give out your cards. Give out your tracts. That's a little thing. But the Lord never wastes little things. He is desperate to have his message continued on through us. We are his apostles, his disciples. We are. So put out your cards, and you'll never know. That person that gave that card never knew where that card would go. We don't have to know. We just have to do it. We have to do it. We have to be the witness. That's what we're called for. We have to plant the seeds, and the Lord will water them, but we have to plant them. And that's our responsibility. We have to be the witnesses for the truth. Now, let me tell you another little story, Father. It's a very, very good story. It's a story about a woman that was walking along the street, and she was very depressed. She found out she was pregnant, there again, feeling alone. And that is a terrible feeling, to feel alone and, gosh, I'm going to have a baby. So she's walking along the street, and she looked up, and here she found a church. And it happened to be in Stoughton. And it was, oh my gosh, the name of the church is escaping me.
St. James.
No, it wasn't St. James, Father. I'll think of it before. But anyway, so she walked into the church, and nobody was there. It was dark and cool, and she sat back in the last pew. And it so happened that there was one woman in the church, and as my friend, the pregnant lady, was sitting in the back, she was sobbing and sobbing. And another woman in the church walked over to her and put her hand on her shoulder and said, what is it, my dear? And she said, I'm pregnant and I'm scared and I don't know what to do. Well, it so happened that this woman had my card in her pocket. I mean, how many times would that happen? So she pulled out my card. My card says, Hope, Help, Love. It has Eleanor and it has my telephone number, 617-733-2264. She said, you call Eleanor and she will help you. So the woman did. She has. We went to pregnancy help. We got the ultrasound. She's going to have a baby girl. We've given her all the things so far. Collecting more items for the baby. So there was a little card. It happened to be my card in her pocket. And it was a little thing. In fact, we found out who the woman was, and she told us the story that morning when she went to make a visit at Immaculate Conception in Stoughton. She said she saw my cards on the kitchen table, but she said, what do I need a card for? I'm going to the holy hour. But she said, I picked up a card and I put it in my pocket. So the Lord works with you. If you're open and you say, come Holy Spirit, you know, my prayer always is, Father, Father in heaven, bless me. Jesus, kiss me. Holy Spirit, lead me. So if you're open to all that, the Holy Spirit put the card in her pocket. It's a beautiful story of love.
There are no coincidences. God is at work, and we need to be co-workers with Him. And that means we need to put our head on the chopping block. And Christians today just say, well, I gave my life to Jesus, but now I'm doing something else. No, I gave my life to Jesus, and I have to keep on pouring out my life for Jesus. You know, the heart of Jesus says, I have loved you with such a love, and I am little loved in return. That's a sad thing. The heart of Jesus saying, I have loved you with great love, but I have received little love in return. We need to love Jesus. We need to tell Him, I love you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I desire you, Jesus. I have a little lady that calls me almost every day, and we pray over the phone, and she repeats, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're my all. Jesus, you're my all. Jesus, I kiss you. Jesus, I kiss you. We go through this, and she says it right after me. And, you know, this is just a beautiful little thing. I don't know this lady from Eve. I know her name, but I don't really know her. I've never seen her, but she knows she can call the rectory, and someone will pray with her, and someone will pray for her. She knows that. These are little things that you can do. Little things. There aren't too many big things you can do. One lady called me up, and she said, you know, I'm very sick, and some person gave me your name. I said, well, come on Saturday night to the 5:30 Mass, because after the 5:30 Mass, we pray for healing. Now, what is that, you know? That's not a great thing to do. It's a little thing, and she's coming. Only God knows what's going to happen. We're going to pray for healing. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to believe God for healing. But you know what? More than that, we're going to give her life to Jesus. We're going to give her life to Jesus. That's the most important thing, because that's into eternity. We're going to give her life to Jesus. Now, your life was given to Jesus in 2000.
That's exactly right, Father. Life begins at age 63. I just had my anniversary, didn't we, Father? June 14th. And that was when my life turned upside down. My life before that was fine. I'm married. I have a wonderful husband and grandchildren and children and all that stuff. But in 2000, the year 2000, I was with you at Mass. And I was looking for something. I don't know what I was looking for, but I ended up in Waltham for a Mass there on a Wednesday night. But actually, if you remember, Father, I left that Mass on June. Actually, it was June 7th when I left, because your homily was too long. And I couldn't get over how long you could just keep talking, and I didn't appreciate it at the time, and I wanted to get home and watch TV, which is so mundane right now. But anyway, but the following week, the year 2000, June 14th, I returned. I thought, well, maybe you won't be talking quite as long. However, you were. You kept talking, and I said, well, this is it. I'm leaving. I want to go home. So I got up to leave, Father, in the chapel, and there were about 200 people. And, Father, I couldn't move. It was the strangest sensation. I was restrained, but it was beautiful. I felt good. I felt warm. I felt something good was happening. I obviously didn't know exactly at the time what it was. But I know I couldn't get up from the chair. I couldn't leave. I was restrained. And then I just collapsed into tears. And all of a sudden, everything was rushing through my mind. I don't know. I knew I had to get to confession. I was convicted immediately. I knew I hadn't been to confession for probably 17 years. So I was right then. I said, so I knew it was the Lord touching me. And I cried and cried and cried and cried. And from then, you said, well, what do you why do you think that happened? And I said, I don't know. And you said, you have to give to your community. The Holy Spirit's calling you to go out. And you encouraged me to get involved for the unborn child. And you encouraged me to do prison ministry, which I do and did. And with the help of God, I will continue. So thank you for having me, Father. And everybody, please come and help us with the unborn at Commonwealth Avenue.
What number, Commonwealth Avenue?
1055.
1055 Commonwealth Avenue. Come out and join them in prayer. They say that the Divine Mercy prayer is so very powerful out in front of the abortion mill. So we're asking you to come out. I want to invite people to our Time of the Holy Spirit, the School of the Holy Spirit, between the 19th of June and the 25th of the 19th of July and the 25th of July. And things will be happening because we'll be in an atmosphere of glory, and God will answer prayer, and God will do what he needs to do, and we will be there praising him and listening to him. This is a beautiful thing that happens. It's between the 19th and 25th of July at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. You can come for the week, or you can come for a day, or you can come for 3 days. This is something very powerful. I also tell you that we need to hear from you, especially online. Please leave a donation online, inseason.net, inseason.net, and it'll tell you how to leave a donation online. We need to pay May's bills. We still haven't done that, but I'm confident in God, and I'm confident that God's people will respond. May Jesus Christ bless you, and may you do the little thing today in his name. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.